something resembles order. All right, we're going to start with item 6.01. Let's see, as soon as Dr. Schroeder returns, we'll have a motion. Colleen? Sorry for the delay. Item 6.01. Dr. Schroeder, do you have a motion on this topic?
Sure. I move to approve educational testing services praxis exams and the articulated cut scores as the content exams for educator licensure and preparation endorsements as recommended by the stakeholder team.
Is there a second to that motion? Saying yes. Ms. Goff seconds the motion. Let me ask. Dr. O'Neill, first of all, I had a chance to review the materials. I think they're well done and self-explanatory, and there is some urgency in getting this approved so we can move forward with the exams. So let me start by asking the board members if they've had a chance to adequately review this segment, and do you have questions of Dr. O'Neill or her team here? Yes, Dr. Schroeder.
So I made the motion that I did because praxis covers the most areas, but what do we do in those few areas that are not covered? What's our process for, I don't know, 10 areas that are not covered by that testing group?
Dr. O'Neill?
Thank you, Commissioner Durham. I just switched.
I got a promotion.
Dr. Anthus, so I'll continue to do that if there's anybody who wants to volunteer for that.
It's a big salary increase with it, so.
I'll see if I can get this right. Dr. Schroeder, I'm going to try to address your question. I think there are actually six test areas specifically that ETS doesn't cover today. Those areas would be developed. A couple of those areas are also program-only areas. That actually do not require a content assessment at this time. So those are definitely to be determined. They are very low test areas, such as Russian. So we are not concerned about those areas today. Those can be by program. The endorsement for those can be by program only today.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Any other questions? The committee, I thought the explanation was well done and the work appears to be well done in this area. Do you need the full briefing, or are the members prepared to vote on this motion? Ms. Groff? Well, you can comment before, please.
I just, through colleagues in certain content areas, Russian being one of them, but not necessarily in the content, I will convey that this is great news for world language programs in general. I'm highlighting that particular area, and I thank you for the work and the persistence, and people have come to appreciate that it's a process that deserves its due time and patience and examination, and it's very much appreciated. I think it's going to help us move forward and reflects better what our teachers are set up to do now. So thank you.
Ms. Rankin, did you have a comment?
Are we going to go through the whole presentation?
I prefer not if you have enough information.
Then I'd like to make a comment.
Yes.
We've talked a lot and spent a lot of money on third grade and under reading, and I was looking at this presentation, the last part, where it says we set up a task force to evaluate the reading and make sure we're on the right track, because we have standards, and I think we emphasize the standards, work toward the standards, but we have to review them and to make sure we're pointed in the right direction. And reading is so important that I highly recommend that we continue to assess and reassess what we're doing, not what the students are doing, make sure we're on track for reading. It's the most important thing we do.
Okay.
Yeah, I forgot about the recommendations. I really do encourage us to get some endorsements in some specific subjects, particularly in the elementary and middle schools, and that's about literacy, Joyce, but also about mathematics. I think we can see a dramatic change with an elementary math endorsement in our outcomes.
Those are good observations. I think those two content areas are particularly important, the reading and the basic elementary math. So, all right, further discussion from the members. Ms. Birdsall, would you call the roll on the motion, please?
Board Member Flores?
Yes.
Board Member Goff?
Yes.
Board Member Mazanek?
Yes.
Board Member Rankin?
Yes.
Board Member Shuffle?
Yes.
Board Member Schroeder?
Yes.
And Chairman Durham?
Yes. That motion is adopted by a vote of 7-0. I'm sure you're all well prepared to make a presentation. I hope you're as happy as we are that it was not necessary. So,
Mr. Chair, may I just for one moment?
Please.
I want to thank Dr. Carolyn Haug and Ty Valentine. They spent an enormous amount of time in a very concentrated 3 months with the team developing, digging, asking critical questions, talking with their stakeholders, bringing that back, making sure that all the questions are answered. And I just cannot thank them enough for their service, not only to students, but to the Colorado Department of Education and our teaching staff. So thank you very much for all of your work. I appreciate it.
Thank you. And I would say the results of the hard work are self-evident, and we appreciate it very much. Thank you. We'll move on now to item 7, University of Phoenix discontinuation of Colorado campus and principal preparation programs. Let's see, do we need a motion on that? It doesn't look like it. So, Dr. O'Neill?
Absolutely. Thank you, Mr. Chair. The University of Phoenix is actually trying to get ahead of something that they're doing in the next several years. So they are closing their online programs that they are approved right now to be an educator preparation entity in both principal and teacher licenses. This is an informational item only, and I thought that it was important that we bring it to you just so that you know that there will be a teach-out plan for the University of Phoenix. They are keeping their ground-based folks. And they are very, very far ahead of the curve. So there's actually a 7-year teach-out plan for the University of Phoenix online program.
7-year what?
Teach-out. Teach-out. I apologize. So basically, it will be ending the program within 7 years. They are allowing anyone who is already in the program and anyone who will be enrolling until September in the program to complete the program, be approved, get their educator license in the state of Colorado, and then they will cease all online operations in Colorado. They will continue to run their site-based campus, however. So I just thought it was really important that you know that that program is closing, but they are very far ahead of the curve, as opposed to another university who closed its doors within 3 months here just in the last year. So I just wanted to give you a heads up and see if there were any questions or concerns.
Questions from members of the board? Seeing none, thank you very much,
Dr.
O'Neill.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair.
Now we'll proceed to item 8. Which is the application for certification of multi-district online schools submitted by Los Animas School District on behalf of AIM Global and Immersion Schools for Science, Technology, and the Arts.
Is he the handout?
It'll take just
just a moment as we have several guests joining us.
All right. Let's see. Dr. Schroeder, do you have a motion before we start here?
Sure. I move to approve Los Animas' request for certification of a multi-district online school on behalf of AIM Global Academy and Immersion School for Science, Technology, and the Arts.
Is there a second to that motion? Ms. Goff seconds the motion. It's been moved and seconded. Commissioner, would you care to introduce the discussion?
Sure. I will call on Misty Roofson to introduce the item, and then she will turn it over to Randy DeHoff, Summit Education Group, and Bob Gardner, attorney, Elise Goines, the superintendent from Los Animas School District, and Tom Meerden, secondary principal there.
Okay.
Thank you,
Misty. Mr. Zavin?
Thank you. So, Interim Commissioner Anthus did introduce our guest today, and I believe we also have a student that's joining us. Great, thank you. And your name is Sammy Lopez? Great, thank you, and welcome. Just to give a brief overview of this item, you may know that the process for approving an online and blended school includes internal as well as external reviewers that occurs within a 60-day period by staff, as well as external review. That did occur for the two schools that are being requested in this situation. You will see a rubric online in your board docs that includes areas that initially the applications did not meet, and then the applications were sent back, and we were provided at the department with sufficient responses and follow-up, and both applications do now sufficiently meet the requirements that were provided on the rubric, and those are statutory requirements. Just as a quick review, for the three following criteria that the application must provide evidence of, that the authorizer has resources and capacity to oversee the online school. Two, the authorizer has documented and verified that the online school meets an acceptable level of compliance with quality standards for online schools. And then three, the authorizer and multi-district online school have agreed on a plan for operating the online school. So with that, I'll leave to our presenters today to outline any questions you might have additionally.
Thank you. Questions from the board before we start? Seeing none, who would like to? Yes.
I will go first. I'm Elsie Goings from Los Angeles School District, and I'm glad I have the mic so I can speak into it. One of the things I would share with you is, and they would attest to this too, from the very beginning in our numerous meetings that we have a catchword. Is for me, and I get to be the bad guy today, accountability. So from our very first conversation, that has always been a ringing tone with myself, with my school board, and what does that accountability look like? And so our attorneys, my board president, myself, we have scoured through the application, we've scoured through the statutes, we've looked over the application to make sure it aligns, and I will assure you, and so will their attorney, that what you will probably see is we are going to have what we call a small school touch to that, in that we want to see more assurances on our end because we know at the end of the day we're on the hook. And Summit always knows that too, and that's been an ongoing conversation that we've had and will continue to have. And so I want to share with you just a concept. You know, when I was a young girl, I had the privilege to have a grandmother who had an old-fashioned washing machine, and she turned that washing machine to wring out the clothes. And I loved watching that. And I knew that if she wasn't satisfied, she'd put those clothes back in and she'd wring it again. And being a curious child that I was, I didn't think it was real powerful, so I actually stuck my finger in there. And yes, I realized it hurt quite a bit. And I think that over the last 100 days, that is kind of what we have been going through. We've been going through a wringing effect with one another to say, what does that accountability look like? How does that work, and how are we going to implement that? And so I want to share real briefly with you what that looks like, and definitely that small school touch. So when we talk about Summit and we talk about Los Animas, you know, you're going to hear some conversations around what small school touch looks like. Number one, when I have a board meeting, and Summit will be at those board meetings because they will be just as responsible as my principals to come, We present information. We're presenting information on financials. We're presenting information on evaluations. We're presenting information on student data. We're presenting information on attendance, because that is a district goal. We're presenting information on policies, policy review, policy updates. We do quarterly financial work sessions, and we do that work together. We also have, I have weekly admin meetings. You know, that's the nice thing with having a small community, is we meet for an hour each week. And believe it or not, there's a lot going on in Los Animas, and sometimes to get that hour squeezed out, it takes a concerted effort. But we know that that hour meeting each week helps us to stay on top of little things. Because in a small community, little things turn really big really fast. And so that's how we work on keeping on top of those things. We also have, we're a four-day week school, but we also have monthly professional development. We have a professional development calendar. We bring staff together. We train on specific goals and things that we want to achieve. Improving instruction, you know, that's one of the quality standards. Improve. How do you measure quality instruction? Well, that's an ongoing process. And for us, and it'll be true for Summit, how do you train new teachers? How do you support new teachers? How do you get them to a place where they're being effective? Well, that takes a lot of work, and we have a BOCES Principals PLC. Summit principals will be attending that PLC. And when you start getting educators and principals together, you know what? They really can solve the world if there's enough of them in one place. They may not always agree, but they definitely know what the issues are. And so that's some of those pieces that when we talk about small school, yeah, you know, this crowd that we have here today supporting us, guess what? They're going to be coming out to Los Animas, Colorado, and having these meetings and having these dialogues because, you know, my board is adamant that we are going to have accountability. And so I get to talk about the ugly thing about accountability. And I think that when you think about online schools and you think about charter schools, that's always kind of the ringing tone that everybody talks about is accountability. And so we have really dug deep and pushed our boat out into the deep water to say, how can we make this work with a proper amount of accountability? And so you will be, if this goes through, you will be seeing a lot of Summit folks in Los Animas as we continue to work together to grow this program. I'm going to turn it over to Mr. Mearden real quick and have him talk a little bit about what is it like in Los Animas? Why would we want to do something like this? And before you do that, I don't want to forget two things I want to talk about. Unfortunately, this spring, we had a young man who put a shotgun in his mouth, and he passed away. And I want to just say thank you to Melissa Colesman. She reached out to me on more than one occasion, and I just wanted to say that out loud.
Thank you for your time.
Mr. Mayor?
A couple of little things. As a principal, I get to deal with the day-to-day activities with the students, which is the part that I love. And after meeting with Summit and listening to their proposal, they really do care about at-risk students and gifted students. And being the principal at Los Animas and coming from another small district in Colorado that really didn't have at-risk kids, Los Animas has a lot of at-risk kids. And two or three examples that I can give, I had a couple of kids that were seniors this year that at the beginning of the year, I had problems with them last year, but at the beginning of this year, they just didn't want to come to school, whether it was for behavior or attendance or whatever, but they just didn't fit. They decided to quit school. I have always kept in contact with these kids because we do have an A+ credit recovery program to try to get them to get their diploma, get your diploma. If they want to go work, they want to go make $1 million, but then they found out, I can't get a job. So I've kept in contact with these kids, and in fact, yesterday I saw another one. They're working on their A+. And then we have Sammy here, who was a senior this year. He didn't quite make it. He's working this summer on an A+ credit recovery, possibly Summit, to get his diploma because he understands how important an education is. And talking about at-risk students, I think the definition of at-risk is growing. It is getting bigger at what at-risk is. And I like Summit's definition. I like what they do with the wraparound, where it's unlike other online schools where they have a life coach that is in contact with each kid every day. And I love that part. And that's what I don't like about A+, because we send a kid on a computer and on a class and say, tell us when you're done.
Okay.
So just a little story about Sammy. When Sammy was 16, he drank Drano. and found himself almost losing his life, and have had numerous surgeries, and he got behind. He also had some struggles with family and moved and removed. And so, you know, Sammy is just one of many stories that we have about our students at Los Animas.
Thank you. Just briefly, Summit Education Group was formed in 2011 and converted to a public benefit corporation in 2014 after the Colorado Legislature created that corporate entity and statute. Summit's focus is to work with education agencies, including local districts, BOCES, state agencies, charter boards, and others to provide successful education alternatives for students who are not well served by the traditional public school structures. These alternative models are designed based on the extensive experience and lessons Summit leaders have gained through their many years of experience in online, blended, and alternative education. The two applications you have before you today, AIM Global is an alternative education campus model designed to meet the needs of the more at-risk students at one end of the bell curve, while Immersion Schools for Science, Technology, and the Arts is designed for students who are trying to balance their education with an intense focus on their chosen career path. For example, in the Dance Immersion track of Immersion Schools, which will be our largest track with about 150 students next year, students attend a dance studio from 8 to 3, at least 4 days a week, with 3.5 hours of professional dance instruction and arts immersion blended curriculum, such as anatomy and physiology of dance, history of dance, and project-based explorations of the business of professional dance, interspersed with time to work on their online academic curriculum in the presence of adult coaches and teachers. These students typically leave the studio in the afternoon, grab a quick bite of dinner, and go to their community dance studios for another 3 to 4 hours of instruction and practice. Online curriculum and other digital tools are essential components of these models, but we all know that online doesn't work by itself. The key component of the Summit models is the enrichment life coach teacher. These are